Welcome to Architecture Talk Tongue. I am Sarah Colara, an architect and organizer of the Disrupt Symposium, the first of its kind business of architecture event, bringing to stage major architecture practices to cover topics related to entrepreneurship and practice operations within the AEC industry. I am an architecture business development consultant, and my goal is to raise the financial well-being of architects through effortless business growth. Each podcast episode features an expert or thought leader from the AEC industry who shares their journey, challenges, and advice. Now, let's dive into this episode and welcome our guest for an exclusive interview. Hello, everybody. This is Sarah Colato of Architecture Talk Tongue. Another special episode for me today because Aya Schlatcher is coming back to Architecture Talk Tongue about a year and a half or 2 years later since we last had Aya on. She was on about 32nd, 33rd episode, long time ago. And me and Aya go back all the way to pretty much the beginning of my business and me posting as a podcaster and content creator online. Aya has contacted me and she wanted some help with putting together her online course and also building her brand online, and I've helped with that, and ever since we became good friends. And it's just really beautiful for both of us actually coming back and seeing where we're both today, 2 years on, with our own businesses. Aya is still going strong, in fact, developing her business even further. And this is just an opportunity for me to catch up with her and to hear about what she's been up to. She's been a great supporter and motivator. And in fact, Aya and MGS Global, her brand, her company, is a sponsor of this podcast too. So pretty much in every episode on iTunes, especially, you guys hear us plugging in a little ad about MGS Global. And this episode will have it too. So anyway, let's crack on and get right to it. Aya, thank you so much for joining me today on today's
episode. Hi, Sarah. Thanks for having me. Yeah, thanks for having me. There's a little bit of a backlog. Did you see that? Oh.
I did, actually, but I think it just fixed itself. It must have been the internet.
Yeah. So thanks for having me, Sarah. It's been a while. And the last time I finally met you over the summer, right? I met you in Greece.
Oh my God, like we did.
That 2 hours. Amazing. Yeah.
I know. We did actually meet in physical life because Aya, she's working out of America. Oh, I've been mostly in Europe at the time, especially over Corona. And then last year over the summer, we had an opportunity to come together. And it was really funny, right? We realized how tall I am and how funny.
I landed in Greece and I texted you. I'm like, Sarah, are you here? She's like, yep, let's meet.
Yeah, we went for dinner.
You met my entire family. It was fun.
That was super fun. That's true. Yeah. So Aya, so tell me what you've been up to. I mean, listeners already know you from obviously 2 years back, and I have been posting things about our collaborations and things like that over the years. So the last time basically we caught up, you've been doing a project called Architect My Life, and it was dedicated to helping women entrepreneurs within the creative industry excel in their careers, empower them. And you have been very active ever since with the AIA and going to loads of events and also public speaking and being part of really interesting content, also writing your own blog. So you've been really contributing to the industry. And at the time, you already had your MGS Global business, which basically helps architects create their projects on an outsource, and it was helping them with Revit and with AutoCAD, ArchiCAD, and all these different softwares. And ever since, that business has also grown. So I'm really itching to find out how are you doing and where is everything standing. Tell us a little bit more about it.
So I'm glad you asked, because a lot of people know me as, you know, architect my life. So I actually, I have an architecture degree and I have a master's degree because I wanted to go into the traditional architecture route, like get my license, and I studied urban design because I wanted to go back to the Philippines and promote, you know, do public housing and do interventions. But that all, you know, that didn't happen because I ended up getting married, meeting my husband in New York City. And just wanted to give a little bit of background. I was working in traditional firms, like 3 or 4 firms doing residential work. And I quit my job because I gave birth. And a few of my old bosses and contacts called me. So it started really as a side hustle. So I was doing a lot of drafting while taking care of my baby in my one-bedroom apartment. So that's what MGS Global, those were the origins of MGS Global. Started out as like a side hustle, helping my friends and former bosses with drafting and drawing delivery. So fast forward to now, we're this kind of major architecture support company. We have over 30 employees now. We specialize in drafting, obviously, from SDs to CDs. And we do ARCHICAD, Revit, AutoCAD, and we serve different sectors all over the United States. And we just landed our first client in Milan. So that's really exciting. So I'm trying to venture into the European architects.
I love this. This is amazing. So tell me a little bit actually about that business, because it's interesting how it all originated and, you know, basically how you're telling me also that you kind of hassled starting it as a mom out of an apartment in New York with your husband supporting and everything. But today you're actually turning it into thought leadership in respect that you're actually training architects online in these softwares and helping architects basically design better. You have a YouTube channel that you recently also launched, and I see your team, your creative team, your marketing team also working relentlessly on putting together really interesting content. So by the way, you guys should go and check out the YouTube for IS YouTube, which is MGS Drafting.
Yes.
Isn't it? And so, yeah. And so basically there's this part of a business where you're educating and another part of a business just specifically linked to your services. Tell me a little bit more about that.
So we realized a lot of companies were shifting from AutoCAD to Revit, AutoCAD to ARCHICAD. So this is also our way of educating our potential clients and firm owners that you know, how to, you know, we release a lot of how-to videos on hacks and tricks in Revit. We also have blogs because I think to provide, we really want to provide value to our customers and client base. So they know that we also are thought leaders and experts in our particular field. So that's why we started blogging and creating content. And it's been amazing because people thank me because we do bite-sized content. We don't do like a whole how to, you know, like a 30-minute blog. We create how to create sheets, how to, what are the top 5 shortcuts. You know, it's manageable, digestible content for a lot of firms who are migrating from CAD to BIM. So that's how it all started. And I think it's really great. People are happy, especially my colleagues from, you know, that are CAD people. It's really helpful. Yeah. So that's part of what we're doing in MGS Global as part of upgrading like our clients' skill sets as well, you know, upskilling their team and people who want to learn.
And I love this. And, you know, with my coaching consulting, occasionally I get people come in who are just starting up their business. And there's always this massive question like, do I get the clients first or do I build the team? Because what happens if I go to some event and I land a big developer? I mean, how am I going to even bite into this project, you know, without a team? And I always tell them that MGS Global exists. There is businesses that you can actually use a team of designers on an outsource, and they will help you produce all the construction drawings and all the design sections, elevations, 2D, 3D, basically it's a really interesting way also to approach starting your business or perhaps even designing today, because you can service your clients without actually having an in-house team. And of course, it means that you need to develop really good relationships with firms like MGS Global, where you communicate well your design, they understand your needs. But I'm sure that Aya, with her experience working with teams, you have a sort of onboarding process that makes architects more comfortable to speak about their needs, and so that your team also understands very well what delivery they're actually looking for.
Yes, that's true. And it's been, I've always talked about this openly. I was in the process of getting my architecture license. And this is like my biggest insecurity that I tell people, like, oh, I never got my license. And, you know, I have a master's degree, but I'm not practicing traditionally. But hearing my clients thank me for all the work that I've done and helping like so many architecture firms, it makes it worthwhile. And I'm like, I'm still in the profession, but in a different capacity. So, you know, a lot of architects are also looking for alternative ways to, you know, make a side hustle or just pivot. Architecture support is really a win-win. So I'm grateful that I have the opportunity to help a lot of firm owners, especially during COVID when people were remote. And a lot of, you know, I have a story with this new client that I got. She posted on one of the groups. She said, I'm about to give birth to my fifth child. But then I don't know how I'm going to survive with being here at home with my five kids, my soon to be five kids and my husband. So she said, should I quit and not do anything? So I reached out to her. I said, hey, I'm not selling or anything, but before you give away all your clients and things like that, maybe you should try to work with me and see if it works so you can continue to make a living with five kids. And she did. And, you know, we started working together. So it's also makes me happy that I'm also supporting the, you know, mompreneurs and, you know, solo practitioners. They have, you know, they have me as a resource.
That's right. Amazing. And I actually love the fact that you mentioned pivoting, because of course you understand what it means to be an architect and to kind of get on that personal journey of shifting away from architecture to servicing architectural and design firms now, which really means that you utilize your architecture tools and skills that you've gotten through education and practice and that experience, but decided to create your own independent business, which was, you know, kind of away from the traditional path of an architect. And now you're successful with it. You know, your team is growing, you're getting more clients as well. And so it paid off. So tell me a little bit about that pivot and what it meant for you to leave architecture and start, because that's never easy.
Yeah, I was doing my exams way back in 2008 while taking care of my 11-month-old. And I'm like, I can't do this. Like, my brain just couldn't study, you know, with sleepless nights. And then I started getting, you know, jobs from, you know, from clients here and there. I landed this huge client. Well, actually, it's a big retail company, like huge retail company. We did so many stores from my apartment. Again, I hired my friends. So I realized maybe this is my calling and my passion, but I really felt very guilty. Like, I'm sure a lot of people who have moved to tech or to other industries feel the same way after 6 or 7 years of school. So I called my father and I said, Dad, you know, he helped me pay for college. And I called him. I said, Dad, I hope you're not upset. I've decided to stop taking my ARE because honestly, I don't know if it's the right path for me. And I was so worried. And he said, that's great. Congratulations. Being an entrepreneur is actually really a great path for you. So that was like a validation that, okay, I didn't make the bad mistake of just quitting. I'm still in the profession. So that was really the beginning. But in 2008, due to the economy crashing, we, you know, my husband and I and my daughter, we went to the Philippines also to rediscover my roots. I've been gone for, I think, 12 years. I came back. I went to the US for college, got married, and then I went back to the Philippines because, again, the economy was pretty bad. So I started there, and my clients, when the economy picked up, I started getting more jobs and I built a team there. So at the same time, I'm supporting, you know, the local economy in the Philippines, supporting, you know, providing jobs for architects over there. And a lot of my employees have been with me since day one. Like, I have employees from 12 years and they're still there. The good thing about that is I lived there in Cebu, Philippines for 6 years. I was able to train them, mentor them, and create all these standards and guidelines of how, you know, detailing is done in the US, best practices, building construction materials and methods. So it's like a win-win. I got to you know, reconnect with my roots, hang out with my family, provide jobs, at the same time help a lot of architects who are struggling to get work done.
Architecture Talk Tank is sponsored by the good people at Integrated Projects, a team of architects and technologists focused on the digitalization of the built environment. Did you know that there are more existing buildings in this world than websites? Yet only 0.0001% have been digitized. In response to this, the Integrated Projects team launched BIMIT to digitize any space imaginable. Offices, homes, mechanical spaces, you name it. Now any architect, engineers, or reality capture specialist can convert their 3D scan into LOD 200 BIM, just in hours, not weeks or months. Why does this matter? Well, now we can accurately view, verify, and quantify the spaces that we design, build, and operate. To learn more about BIMIT, visit www.integrated-projects.com/Sarah Collada.
So that's where we are. I mean, I can't believe we're really like growing so much, like 30, and I think we might reach 50 people this year alone.
Amazing.
Yeah,
I love it. And you know, just because I'm always all about this, like how beautiful it is to connect with your roots. And actually, you know, it's such a beautiful and fulfilling personal journey, but here you are as well now providing jobs for all these people in the Philippines that you're connected with, and having that business. It's so gratifying internally. And I love how you found your way around back to your roots through your business, basically, and living that passion, and also actually being able to contribute to their education by showing them, you know, the right way, the standards, and the right way to do it. Because by being able to upskill that team, you're giving them also better opportunities for the future, you know, whenever they want to move on or do whatever. Since they're architects, they also can be empowered to follow their own path. And I think you're a great example, being a boss, doing that. So now you have 30 employees, and all of them are specializing in drafting support for architects and designers. And you also cover different sectors. Tell me a little bit more about that.
I started really in retail. I was like the retail go-to for kind of high fashion retail. So I've done around 4,000 to 5,000 retail stores. And that was the beginning. I mean, we were really slammed. We were very successful in 2010 to 14. But then I wasn't prepared for, you know, Amazon taking over and nobody wanted to, you know, go shop anymore. And we oversaturated the market. So that's how I pivoted and diversified to quick service restaurants. As an entrepreneur, and I'm speaking as an entrepreneur, not as a service provider, we always have to make sure that we diversify and not put all our eggs in one basket, because that was my mistake. Like, we were slammed. We were doing 100 shops per month for one company. So for me, it was really hard for me to imagine that this could, you know, disappear. And it did slowly. So I had to right away pivot. And I started my pivot in 2018. We started doing hospitality. So that's when I started getting work for like different parts of these major hotels. Like, we would do like the spa in a hotel. And we did like a lot of hospitality work, boutique hotels and big brands. And then I wasn't comfortable with just hospitality because I was afraid something would happen. And I'm glad I made the pivot to quick service restaurants, the food business. I didn't know COVID was going to happen and all the hotels were getting shut down. But that time we were already working with big companies. We were working with, well, not directly with McDonald's, but with their rollouts, McDonald's and Chipotle and 7-Elevens, with a company that did as builds for them. So again, it's really important to try to diversify before any recession or unexpected world calamity. So when COVID hit, our hospitality clients really disappeared. So we were focused on quick service restaurants and residential work. People were building a lot of houses because they were stuck at home. So yeah, it's that thing. We have to be creative thinkers as entrepreneurs and architects, right? How to diversify.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And, you know, this is just great because, I mean, so many different things that happened with the recession and everything surely taught you a lot. So I wanted to ask you a little bit about what you've learned from all this journey of being an entrepreneur.
Ooh, I think entrepreneurs, especially architects and designers and creatives, we were taught how to master our craft, but not taught how to run or grow a business. And a lot of us are very controlling. We don't want to give up anything in the business. Like sometimes it's, you should just let it go. You know, like a lot of my early, you know, my new clients are like, hey, the line weights are off, you know, like it has to be a certain way. But in the general scheme of things, you know, architects shouldn't be drafting if you're a solopreneur. I mean, you should be spending time with business development and collecting. A lot of architects just forget to bill. I mean, because they're so busy drafting. And also, it's also hard for architects to grow because they don't have staff. So even though they have an opportunity, they'll just say no. I mean, how many people have I met or on the Facebook group saying, you know what, I can't take on any more work because I don't have staff. I'm like, hey, I'm here. But obviously, I don't really sell on those platforms. I wait for people to come. But, you know, they don't have staff to support their growth. And it's like a waste of an opportunity, right? Yeah. Also, employee retention is so hard because people, I don't know why, Sarah, maybe because of burnout and things like that. So it's hard to keep employees. But also, I overheard one of the architect happy hours, this guy said, I hate employees. He literally said that. And I'm like, why? I mean, he was just bitching that it's so hard to train them, this and this. And I'm like, you know what? Everything roots in the hiring process. If you don't spend time vetting your potential employees, you're not gonna get good clients, right? But at the same time, you also need to spend time training them. You know, the architect probably has 30 years of experience. They hired someone with 5 years of experience. You can't call them dumb because you need to train them, right? So it's like we all have to be educated in how to, you know, upskill our employees. We need to train them and be patient. Yeah. So that's a lot of the things. And that's why, that's what I learned from this is why we succeeded, because the clients that are working with me have recommended me to a lot of their friends because of these problems of finding staff or just hard to train people. And especially you need to train them when you have deadlines right away. They need to be at the same top speed. You don't have like 6 weeks to train or 2 months to train. So that's what I've learned. Like, we need to open our minds to handing off. I mean, we meaning creatives have to be open to letting go of things that we're not good at and bringing in people who are the right partners for our business growth.
That's right. And, you know, really, I think, you know, listening to you also speak about this kind of employee issue and all that stuff, you know, we really faced that over Corona, that, you know, out of a sudden we had all these well-functioning offices, so many people employed, and boom, the projects are pulling out, you know, and it's kind of that what's next moment of like, oh my gosh, I mean, I have all these salaries to pay, not enough projects, people are getting fired, you feel responsible for it. But in the same time, I think that what the beautiful thing that came out of Corona is kind of more more focus and more orientation around, you know, remote work conditions. And I find it much easier to start a business from the scratch, from the get-go, saying, you know what, I'm gonna perhaps not rely on a core key team as much as in the traditional practice we do, but rather develop really good relationships with outsourced businesses such as yours one. And then I can actually do things on per project basis. So if I have a client and I'm doing a project, there is budget coming in from the client and I can budget in for all my sort of production expenses, which is a team, and therefore hire a team to come in and do that design with me. but then I'm not responsible for these people afterwards. And I think that's just so easy. And today, with technology, with software and hardware as well, there's a lot of remote working tools in place. Like, you know, HP has all this ability to use like TeraDC, which now became HP Anywhere, where basically you just connect from your laptop directly through a software to your working computer or someone else's work computer, and you can revise files and, you know, use basically a home-standing, strong hardware machine to be designing on, but connecting through your laptop from the Philippines, I don't know, or on your holiday, and therefore also manage all your team. Likewise, and I remember back in the day, that was at the very beginning of Architecture Talk Tank, I interviewed someone who was actually working for Random Cool House, and they were telling me a story about back in the day before the internet, before computers, how they used to fax designs to Rem as he was traveling and being in all these different hotels. He would spend, you know, ask the lobby to print out all these designs. Sometimes it was like 150 pages of design documentation and, you know, drawings and sections, elevations and whatnot. And he would just mark everything with a big, you know, red marker and fax it back to them. And so these days are no longer here. And yet, even though we have such, you know, incredible technology available to us and all these solutions of remote work collaborations with other firms, we're sometimes still not ready to step into it. And I just find it to be, perhaps it takes a little bit more time to set your business such that you don't have an in-house team. You need to develop a relationship with a company like MGS Global. But think about the benefits of not having to take a responsibility for the team, and also to be able to budget in the production expense from the budget that you're getting from the client without having to maintain your office and, you know, all the in-house team and stuff like that. So I think there's a lot of benefit in that. All it takes is just to educate yourself about it and basically introduce that system into your firm. But, you know, with today, with so many people wanting to, you know, maybe work more from home or have a more flexible work-life balance, or perhaps cut the cost of having to have an office and maintain all that stuff, you know, out of New York, let's say, or London, where you have to pay all these high salaries, why not hire someone out of the Philippines to do your designs? And, you know, if you get really good, well, communicating with your team remotely, they'll understand exactly what you need and how you want it presented. And that's what they're trained to. Not only produce those drawings really fast, but also present them well. I'm guessing with different formats of presentation and rendering and, you know, the lines, communication, all of that, so that you can have good construction drawings or visualization drawings for entering competitions, etc. So I really, you know, wanted to kind of speak to that, what you're speaking about, like being flexible and being open to sort of experiment a little bit with the business model that you have today, which can save you time and money and potentially stress. And there are all these different solutions in place already. So I wanted to tell, to ask you a little bit about initially, like, how would you define your mission with everything that you're doing? Because there's so many wonderful things, and you went on this beautiful journey as well, of putting your passion and commitment towards helping women architects excel in their careers and, you know, growing MGS Global along the way. And I see you so active within all the different conferences and events and contributing. And I know that there's so much passion there and so much love in what you're doing. Tell me a little bit about that mission statement of yours.
So a lot of us are architecture firm owners. Why did we start our firms, really? Right? I quit my job partly because, I mean, my first job, I quit partly because I burnt out and my boss was not that nice. So I quit. A lot of the reasons why we want to start our own firm, for me personally, it wasn't really I wanted to make a lot of money, but I wanted time for myself. Really, it was time. I was burnt out. So I quit because I moved to another firm that gave me more time and flexibility. But the whole reason why I started doing my own work was to have my time. How can I, you know, I felt guilty calling my boss when I was sick, and I had to act sick even though I was sick when I made a phone call. You didn't email then, you had to leave a voicemail like, hi, I'm sick. Even though I'm sick, I needed to sound sick. You know, so I didn't want that for my life, that I have sick days, but I don't want to take it. And it's like, I don't have my time freedom. So my goal really, and I'm a mom of two kids, and I really want to spend time with my kids. I don't want that taken away from me, like them growing up. Although it did happen for, you know, when we were scaling, you know, I had burnout. But so my mission is really to help architects succeed and find joy in their practice. Find joy, meaning like a lot of architects are tied to their phones. And when they hear a text ring, they're afraid it's their client who's asking for drawings. Like, I know a lot of people who can't sleep at night because they're so stressed about their clients. They can't meet deadlines, or how can they collect money from clients who owe them a lot of money or just ask for more money. So my goal is really to help as many architects succeed so that whatever their reasons are for starting their firm, they can really, it can happen for them. You know, you don't want to be tied to your desk 24/7 or your phone, which is not what I think a lot of firm owners initially wanted to do, but end up doing that. So the goal is really to help small firm owners get back joy in design and running their own firms instead of just like being so exhausted and worried about pipeline, financial, you know, all these financial things that they have to worry about, like payroll and things like that. So it's just, you know, I want my clients to be able to breathe and relax and enjoy their life as an architect and their life outside of work, which is also in line with Architect My Life, where you and I collaborated, Sarah. You know, this is all, you know, about, you know, how women can. Architect My Life is an all women's group. It's a Facebook group and on podcast. And I created that specifically to show women that it is possible to succeed and to be extremely successful with other people's support. So our podcast also highlights successful women, architects, designers, thought leaders, and influencers. We're only in this world once, right? Why should we spend our time always stressed and worrying about money? So that's the goal, to help a lot of architects really be happier architects.
I love that. That's so beautiful. And tell me a little bit about potentially like a story that helped validate your career switch.
Yeah, like, again, I was like, is this the right thing? I went to an Ivy League. I went to Columbia University. And whenever I go to reunions and people ask me what I do, and you know, those people in the Ivies, they're very like, I did this, I did that, you know, like, right, Sarah? Like, and so I went to New York and I'm meeting all my former colleagues and, I mean, you know, grad school friends, and they ask me what I do. And in my heart, like, I'm drafting for McDonald's. You know what I mean? Like, so, but then to validate, you know, what I'm doing, it's like, you know, my operations manager, actually, I was like studying for the exam. I started again studying for the exam. But then I was taking care of my kids. I was taking care of all my clients, and I just fell apart. And my operations manager, Cheryl, she said, why do you want to become an architect? You know, you're already successful and you're helping all the architects succeed. So, you know, just focus on what you're doing best. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. And I had a call with this. I had a call with this lady. She just found me on Facebook, and then we met, and I told her what I did. And she said this, I'm going to cry. I'm so happy I found you. I'm like, oh my God, I'm not even a doctor or a shrink, but she's happy she found me. And we've been working together. Like, I see, you know, like the Philippines, we don't shut down during Thanksgiving because we don't have Thanksgiving. And so, you know, I have clients who email me and say, hey, I have a deadline. Can you please help? It's very tight and it's Thanksgiving. I'm like, guess what? We don't work in Thanksgiving. Thank you. You're a lifesaver. And I'm not a doctor. So that's why I'm like, okay, I didn't get my license, but I'm still in the profession. I still get to design things here and there. I actually designed a mall in the Philippines with an architect of record there. And we won. The AIA Cleveland gave me an award for People's Choice Award for Chinatown Eastgate. So these are my ways of also practicing architecture, even though I'm not a registered architect in the U.S. I can still design outside of the country with collaborations. So, I try to find creative ways to still practice and design. But also testimonials from clients make me realize I did the right thing and my career path is okay. But maybe before I'm 60, I can still become licensed? I don't know. What do you think, Sarah?
I think so. I mean, it depends if you care, because actually the more I'm growing my business, the least I care about those things, honestly. I don't think I would care much about another diploma or a degree. But I certainly do for like succeeding with my business, you know, and that's what keeps me going. So I thought also about going back and doing all that, but now I see it as a waste of time.
Actually, I do architecture work for family and friends for free. Because, yeah, you know, people ask, why do you do free work? I said, because if it's free, then I don't have deadlines. I'll say I'll do it whenever. If you start to pay me and they'll give me deadlines, I'm like, nope.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, honestly, yeah, to be fair, like, I also miss designing, but I wouldn't just design anything. I wouldn't want to be involved with just anything. And right now I'm looking for doing my own development project. So I'm actually looking to buy land this year to create a hotel. And it's going to be me investing money into this project and building it. So I love the whole process of it, becoming a developer and a new business owner and investing and designing it to my own vision. And so I think, like, you know, the kind of pathway I went on as an entrepreneur really made me stronger and gave me a clearer vision as to how I can still create my dreams without having to depend on a client and becoming my own client and becoming my own.
That's great.
Yeah, my own.
Invite me to the hotel or wherever it's going to be. I'll meet you there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Do you know where? Can I ask?
I'm looking at a few places, honestly. I've been spending the last 6 months just traveling the world and looking for places, but I've been mostly considering either Greek islands, Bali, or around here, South America. So now I'm in Colombia, and yeah, I found a land that I really love, but you know, it's a process. And
I'm building a business plan around it too. Try the Philippines.
Yeah, exactly. Philippines. The problem with those parts of the world is the time zone. So, of course, I would see myself being able to work from there sometimes. And when I was in Bali just last year, I really struggled with the timing. You know, I had to wake up at night to do interviews like this and architecture talk time because Bali's sleeping right now as we're talking.
That's true.
So it's really hard. And to be fair, even though it's like this digital nomad dream, you know, to be in Bali, I don't know, it has such a hype. And when I started this, like, being able to really travel with this business, of course I went on that wagon, but I didn't really enjoy, I wasn't sleeping well, and you know, I can't work at night. This is not, you know, when I was 20 it was fun, but now for nothing, you know, no way. My sleep is really valuable. So that's why I actually came to South America and like exploring that sort of business idea here. And there, you know, the land here offers so much. I mean, right now I'm in the Caribbean, there is Brazil, and I mean, so many places to discover here. Argentina, there are wonderful and have beautiful locations for a project like this. So
that's,
yeah,
great.
Better time as well, there. Yeah, exactly. So tell me, Aya, what's next for you in 2023?
This episode of Architecture Talk Tank is brought to you by the MGS Global Group, a team that provides on-demand CAD and BIM drafting, as well as renderings for architecture firms. In today's environment, with everyone experiencing a surge in projects and staffing challenges, MGS Global can deliver your drawings on time and within your budget. So why work with MGS Global? Their customer service is exceptional and they provide quality for value. They have completed over 5,000 projects worldwide, a testament to their work. Now you can focus on design and let MGS do the rest. Check them out at www.mgsglobalgroup.com.
So I have this tradition every year of making a word of the year. So every year I create that. So I won't go back 10 years. I'll go back 3 years. During COVID, my word of the year was pivot. I mean, I was pivot and I pivoted to architect my life. I started the podcast. I started my community. And also my client base in 2021 became women entrepreneurs. Before, all of my clients were big retail companies or big firms and, you know, but during COVID, obviously we weren't doing any resort work or restaurant work. And my pivot was architect my life and serving the women community in architecture. That was 2021. And when I found my niche, my word for 2022 was focus, right? You got to focus on what you're good at. I did a little bit of design services and this and that because I was hustling in 21. We almost like shut down the company. Sarah knows this. Like there were no, I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? So, So I tried doing design work and this and that. I was dabbling everywhere. But when I found out my niche, I really hyper-focused and that's when we grew. So also my advice to, you know, entrepreneurs, don't try to do everything. Just try to do one thing really well. And I mean, one thing really well, but you got to diversify. So that was focus, right? And now my word for 2023 is actually not a word. It's a number. It's 2.0. So we want to level it up, you know, level up MGS, creating content. Like we have a huge content, you know, we're producing a lot of content for our clients. Like we have blogs and our YouTube channel. And internally, like I'm really upgrading. We have like a portal now for all of our clients. Instead of going through email, we have their own portal, client portal, kind of like if you order from Amazon, you can see all your history of the things that you've bought. So MGS also have a client portal and all our communication is there. So everyone at different time zones and anyone from the team can see what's going on with the project. It's kind of like a digital headquarters. Because I also think that if you don't have systems and processes and you only have goals, you're never going to grow because goals can only reach you at a very surface level. But if you have goals and systems and processes to support your goals, then you'll really fly. So that's one thing that's, you know, the upgraded version of MGS. We also have like, you know, customer service, like, you know, like how call centers have customer support. So that's our, you know, like 2.0, like we have a client relations manager. So it's really, it's easy for you to talk to us. You know, you're not like waiting 24 hours to talk to someone. So we have a dedicated, but my most important thing is really, and this is not only for me, but really training your team. So we spent a lot of money training our team with the most up-to-date updates on Revit and ArchiCAD. We have training on building technology. We do all that in-house because we need to be on top of what's new in the industry. So training our team is huge. We spend money on training our staff, whether it's English training, communications training, details. So that's really what's new in MGS. It's 2.0. And I urge people to try it, you know, like just upgrade and upskill yourself.
I love this. That's amazing. I really do. So tell me a little bit about, you know, how can we be involved with MGS Global? How can we help you help us?
So like if you know any women who want to be inspired and just, you know, have like, you know, when I started my business, it was very lonely. I didn't have a women's group because, you know, being a mom and new mom to two kids, you know, like it's hard growing a business. So it was lonely trying to build a business. So I have this community called the Architect My Life community on Facebook. That's one resource. Also, my Architect My Life podcast, if you know, check it out. Sarah's in the podcast.
Yeah, I've been invited.
It's one of the most listened podcasts, by the way, Sarah. Wow. I got the stats. Yeah, so your podcast episode is like the maybe top one or top two.
Oh, that's amazing.
And it's just, you know, if you're feeling like you're in doubt or you can't propel forward or you can't, you know, get away from your six-figure business, like check out my podcast. There are very successful women there. I have a woman who's like eight-figure entrepreneur architect. Like, yeah, she's an eight-figure architect. So check it out. It's possible. And also, you know, our group, we do a lot of live Q&As on how to help your business grow, really, how to do project delivery, process, and systems. So if you check out our website, we will have monthly live Q&As about resources. And you can email us too if there's a topic you want us to cover in our blogs or in YouTube or, you know, just ask me. I'm happy to help because in general, we all have to help the profession become more successful, right? So if we all help each other, then architects can elevate their standing in the world, yeah. Right? In the community. So
I love this. That's great. And I think what's really important is also to reach out, because, you know, with any content creator, and I'm speaking also for myself, at the end of the day, you're always thinking, what else can I bring to my audience? What else can I bring to people that I resonate with, that I want to help? What sort of topics to cover? And so I think it's really important to, you know, engage and say hello. So how can we best say hello to you, Aya? Where can people find you to connect with you, to write to you, maybe even follow you on social media?
My email address is aya@mgsglobalgroup. Or you can check out the website, mgsglobalgroup.com. And, you know, you can schedule an appointment or check out our podcast and leave a comment in architectmylife.com page. Also, if you have any architect women that you would like to recommend and you would like to see in the podcast, email me so we can try to schedule an interview for all these amazing women worldwide. So far, most of my women are all concentrated in the United States. So I'm open to suggestions for the Architect My Life podcast. But yeah, mgsglobalgroup.com.
I love this. And honestly, this is for outsourced drafting services, BIM services, rendering, and anything that can help you with project execution within your company. You can reach out to MGS Global. And additionally, of course, being a part of a community, especially if you're a woman, go to Architect My Life on Facebook. It's a Facebook group. You can join it. You can email Aya at ayamgsglobalgroup.com. And basically, make sure you tell us what is the best way to help you. So reach out to Aya and communicate about where you're at, what your problem might be, what you're struggling with. So therefore, Aya can see whether she can help or she knows someone who can. And that same goes to everyone really listening, because we're here to help, right?
Yes.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you so much, Aya, for joining me. It was a pleasure catching up with you. I'm really excited for this year. I'm really excited for your further growth. I'm your biggest supporter. And keep going, girl. You're amazing. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Bye.
Bye.
Architecture Talk Tank has its own frequency. We're not a regular podcast, but we are here for you. Always. If you have a suggestion for a guest or have a story that others in this community can benefit from, please contact me via social media or email me directly at me@saracolara.com. To sign up for my newsletter, simply go to the website saracolara.com. I am on Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. You can find me by typing my name, Sarah Colara. Come say hi. I'm always excited when you reach out. Bye for now, and see you in the next episode.